Well, we are on to week 5 of We Are the Church. And I hope you're not getting sick of it, because I believe this is such an important topic. As we've said many, many weeks in a row, we are the ecclesia, the called out ones of Jesus, the called out ones of Christ. When you read the word church in the New Testament, it always speaks of ecclesia, which is about people. It's about us as the body of Christ. It is not a building. It's not somewhere you go to. We are the church. And so wherever we go, we represent Christ. And that's the journey we're on. And last week we looked at unity, which is an incredibly big topic, but we went into a small part of it. And we'll maybe go back to that topic again, because there's so much more we can do with it. But today I felt that the Lord wanted us to speak about the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit is God. There's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily in greater than or lesser than, because they're three in one, but they have these unique representations, these unique personalities, the unique persons of the Godhead, and yet they are three in one. It's a holy mystery. It's the Trinity. It's very hard to comprehend in our earthly minds, but in the kingdom of God, there is no separation, and they are three united in one. What an incredible picture. But today I want us to think about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we neglect or forget about the Holy Spirit, or maybe simply we don't have an awful lot of understanding of the Holy Spirit. And I believe for us to know that we are the church, we've got to recognize who the Holy Spirit is in that, in us and in the church. And I want us to think about the early church. In Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, Jesus spoke at the beginning. He says, hang around, guys, because the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out. They were like, whoa, okay, we're going to hang around, Lord, because you said. And of course, he said in the middle of John, he said, I've got to go at some point, because if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit can't come. And so Jesus put this big high emphasis on there's someone else coming. There's someone else coming. It's like John the Baptist said, there's a Savior coming. And Jesus, the Savior, said, there's someone else coming. And he's just like me, but I've got to go. He's got to come. If I don't, he won't. In other words, he's better. He's the person for the next season. And so the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not a power. Does he come in power? Absolutely. Will he put power on your life and you will work in power? Absolutely. But he is a personality. He is a person. He is part of the Godhead of God. He's part of the Godhead. He is Lord, the Holy Spirit, and he has a rightful place in every believer's life. And what we see from the early part of Acts and the birth of the church, or the rebirth of the church in a sense, is that his active power and presence was on the believers. And it caused them to step into things that they had never stepped into before. In fact, it caused the believers to look a whole lot like Jesus. It caused those new believers in Christ to look like just like the one who had embodied them, who had saved them, who had come and dwelt inside of them. In fact, it's the Holy Spirit. He not only convicted them, but he dwelt inside of them, and then he activated through them. And they were able to pray with people and see them recover. They were able to lay hands on and see dead people raised. They were able to pray and see incredible signs and wonders taking place, because it was almost like they were becoming like Jesus, one degree of glory to the next. I believe it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're never going to be Jesus, but we're taught that we're made in his image and we're to become like him. It's incredible. And through the Holy Spirit, something incredible takes place, and a marvelous work of God begins to happen in us. I believe more than ever we need the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at this today. We're the church, and we need him. I don't know if you've seen over this last week or two, but there's this revival that has begun to spring up in Asbury in the middle of America. Just a bunch of students worshiping Jesus, and before you know it, they stayed all night, and before you know it, it's 100 hours plus. They might be on to 150 hours now, I can't quite remember. And people are beginning to flock to it, and some people are going, is this really a revival? What is a revival? Should we go to it? Should we not? But here's my heart. If God's doing something and you're able to get to it, I would go to it. I mean, if there was a concert going on and it took off, you would go to it if you could. If there was a match going on and it turned out it was an incredible match, you would go to it if you could. If the Spirit is moving, if God's moving in a special way, why wouldn't you go and see what's going on and maybe catch a bit of the fire? So we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I believe the Lord wants to do the same as what he's doing in the States, and maybe different parts of the States. He wants to do the same today in our world, in our lives, and in our place. You see, God's plan was to rescue us through Jesus, but it's the Holy Spirit who dwells on the earth with us. The Father's in heaven, the Son's in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is with us. And the day of Pentecost come, and it literally ripped the roof off of the place. We've been singing a song recently called Rip the Roof Off, and that's really what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the day of Pentecost. The roof was ripped off. The ceiling on believers' lives, it felt like it was just ripped off. It felt like the church, the collective church of the body of Christ, the ceiling was just ripped off. It became something that was containable too. It was uncontainable. It was uncontrollable. The Romans couldn't control it. No authority could control it. The Victorians couldn't control it. Nobody controlled it. The Germans couldn't control it. Didn't matter what superpower rose up over the years, no one could control it because the Holy Spirit had been released and poured out, and he's active today, and he wants to come and fill and indwell and baptize the believers in Christ. Amen. If you've never heard of this today, then I want to tell you there's more. If you have, then I want to say to you, get back to the garage and get a top up. You know, like in the same way as you would top up your phone, possibly. Everybody's on contract now, but your car. You got to charge that thing if it's electric. You got to fill that thing if it's diesel or it's petrol. You got to fill it. And we need to be filled. In fact, the Bible says be filled and filled again and again and again. Because as we go, we pour out. And so therefore, we need the Lord to come and fill us. Here's what John 16:7 says. But in fact, Jesus spoke, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Advocate, another name for the Holy Spirit, won't come. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. Wow. You see, God had it all planned from the beginning. Jesus had to come. And when Jesus was done, the Holy Spirit had to come. And he was as good as Jesus, if not better, because he wasn't confined to a body, so he could be everywhere all at one time. And the Holy Spirit's in you, and he's in me if you're a new believer in Christ. And he says this, I want to go from being in you to being all the way through you. I want full possession. I want full control. Wow. I want to go from a stream to a flood. I want to go from just having a bit of you to all of you. This is the heart of God. This is what he's after. He has paid the highest price, and he wants every part of you in love. And he wants to minister to and work through you in love. And he's simply saying today, if you feel that there's more, it's because there's more. So go after it. You see, the early church turned the world upside down. Let me remind you of some of the stories. Peter and John, they were empowered by the Spirit. They met a lame man at the gate, beautiful, and they transformed his life. It said he was lame all his life, or as far as he could remember. And in one moment, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they transformed his life. They said, we don't have much, but we can give you something. We can give you God's power. Stephen, remember in Acts chapter 6, Stephen was one of these incredible guys. In fact, he was the first martyr of the faith in terms of getting stoned to death for the sake of the gospel. But it said that he was filled with the Spirit, and he was filled with the Spirit just for simple acts of service, just for working for the apostles, just for working with the people. Incredible. We need filled with the Spirit to raise the sick or to heal the sick and raise the dead. We need filled with the Spirit just to go about our day-to-day jobs. Philip was led by the Spirit to meet the Ethiopian. Guided by the Spirit. Saul had a dramatic encounter in the Spirit. Remember, he was blinded. He was persecuting the Christians. The Lord blinded him through the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, he goes on this incredible journey for a day or two until he meets Jesus. He gives his life to God, and then he goes on to do incredible things through the power of the Spirit. But the Spirit marked him, and then the Holy Spirit transformed him. See, people were led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, transformed by the Spirit, and filled by the Spirit. And today, I want to encourage you, you need to be filled with the Spirit. If you know the Lord, if you've given your life to Jesus, then there is more, and he wants to fill you over and over and over again. See, Jesus said we need the Holy Spirit. He said, it's best that I go away. You need him now instead of me. This is what he was saying in John chapter 16. There will come a day where you need him more than me. There will come a day where I must go, otherwise he can't come. There will come a day where he is better for you than I am better for you. Wow. What a beautiful picture. It's not a competition, but you got to see that the Godhead works perfectly together. Perfectly together. And in fact, if you've got the Spirit, you've got Jesus and the Father. If you've got the Son, you've got the Father and the Spirit. And if you've got the Father, you've got the Son and the Spirit. Because as much as they're three in one, they're inseparable. Amen? And they have their distinct personalities and their distinct persons, but together they're one. Are they apart? It's a holy mystery. There's something beautiful that's going on in and out together, apart with the Trinity, that's very hard for our minds to comprehend. But know this, Jesus said, I'll never leave you. And how does he fully express that today on the earth? Through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this about the Spirit. He helps us. He guides us. He reveals truth to us. He convicts us, of course. Without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, none would be saved. without the conviction of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, we can find ourselves way led going into this sin and that sin. He convicts us. It's a beautiful thing. He leads us to Christ. I mean, you got to know this. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to himself. The Holy Spirit will only ever reveal more of the Son. Come on, the goal of the Spirit is to bring you to the Son over and over and over again, to get you to know the Son more and more and more. He grows the fruit of God in your life. He helps you to walk free from sin. Galatians 5:16 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts or the desires of the flesh. How good is the Holy Spirit? He transforms us and he changes us. And everything Jesus did, the Holy Spirit does and more. Think about this now. Sometimes we can think back to ourselves and we say, look, I'd love to be wandering with Jesus all those thousands of years ago. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I've watched The Chosen. I want to be one of those guys. But gosh, we've got the Spirit today and we can be one of those guys and more. He's not limited to 12 anymore. He can flood the earth. In fact, he already does, and he wants to flood your life. The only question is, will you let him? Will you let him? I want to tell you a true story. Back years and years ago, I wanted more of God and I knew there was more, but I was nervous. And I'd heard of the Holy Spirit and I'd said, oh Lord, I really want you, Holy Spirit, but I don't know what to do. And as I prayed and I sought the things of God, I realized that the Holy Spirit was kind and he was generous and he was a gentleman. Someone described him to me as. And he said, if he's a gentleman, and I thought about this one, and he's never going to do anything I can't handle. He might push me, but he'll push me in love. He might reveal things to me, but he'll do it at the right pace that's good for me. My biggest fear was that the Holy Spirit would cause me to do something I couldn't do. I was scared, I was nervous, I was apprehensive. And what I discovered was he would absolutely cause me to do things that I was not capable of, but he would do it at such a pace, with such a grace, with such a wisdom, I'd be doing it before I ever knew it. Or if I felt anxious or nervous, he would compensate and he would make a difference. I want to tell you, don't be afraid of the Spirit. There's nothing to fear. The Holy Spirit is wonderful and he has transformed my life and he wants to do the same to you. 2 Corinthians 13:14, Paul writes it like this at the end of his letters to the Corinthians after two letters. He said, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be upon you and the love of God be upon you and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Isn't it interesting that he said the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? He didn't say the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't even say the presence of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say like the Spirit would convict you. He didn't go through all those different things that the Holy Spirit could do. He used this word fellowship. I want to let you into a secret. Years ago, I didn't like the word fellowship. It just sounded old school, but now I understand the heart of the word. It's this deep word of friendship and connection and partnership and intimacy. It's just a beautiful term for so many different things. It's a biblical word. I thought it was an old-fashioned word. I didn't realize it was, yes, super, super old, but super, super good. And the Lord wants to have fellowship with you. And he says, you're not going to have it with Jesus because Jesus is not here. And you're not going to have it with the Father because the Father's in heaven. And of course, he floods the whole earth. But the way that you can have an up close and personal relationship with God today is through the Holy Spirit. Paul writes it. Notice what Paul says, Son, Father, Spirit. Many times we say Father, Son, and Spirit, but he said, in terms of the experience of the new believer, you will recognize the Son. You will come to the Son, which will lead you to the Father. And when you get to the Father, you'll realize, I want to know more of what's going on. So I experience the Father and Son through the Holy Spirit. Again, this beautiful symmetry, this beautiful dance between all three of them, this beautiful relationship where one goes from strength to strength. It says the Holy Spirit, I don't want to tell you this today, the Holy Spirit helps us experience the Father and the Son every day. And God says, I want you to know me. And if you want to know me, you will know me up close and personal through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the way he's designed it. It's the way he has made it. So I want us to look at three parts of the Spirit today in the context of this getting to know him. And I want us to think about the first word is fellowship. The next word is partnership. And then the third word is intimacy. And of course, we're talking about we are the church. And the better that we know the Spirit, I believe the better we will be the church. Because if the Holy Spirit is our helper today, if the Holy Spirit is our advocate today, if the Holy Spirit's the one who teaches us all things in this life about the Spirit and about the things of God, then surely I need to know the Spirit to help me to fully understand my role as part of the body of Christ, as part of we are the church. It would make sense. sense. It would make sense not to just have the Father or the Son. It would make sense to know all three. And it would make sense that if the Father and the Son are in heaven and the Spirit is here, then it would make absolute sense that as the body of Christ and believers in Jesus, that we would know the work of the Spirit and we would know the Spirit. I've got to keep saying that the Holy Spirit's not an it. He's a person. He's just different because he doesn't have skin like Jesus, but he has a presence and he has a soul. And the Bible makes it very clear that we can grieve the Spirit. So he has a personality. But number one, fellowship. We're going to have a look at this. Fellowship, if you looked it up, you would read words or phrases like friendly relationship, companionship, and sharing together. Sounds really good. Sounds like good friends. They share together. They meet up together. Sometimes may even fall out. Sometimes you get mad at God. I mean, we're not really getting mad at God in the heavens. We're getting mad at the Holy Spirit. When we talk to God every day, we're not really talking to God in the sense we're talking to the Holy Spirit. Whenever we pray in the Spirit, we're praying through the Holy Spirit. He enables us. He helps us. And so really everything we do on the earth is all flowing through the Holy Spirit. He's the God we hear. He's the God who speaks. He's the God who's present. It's the God, the Holy Spirit. And of course, it's all three, but that's the one who's with us on earth. The Holy Spirit is present every day. And what an incredible reality to know that you can know God's voice. You can know the voice of the Spirit. You can hear his voice, whether it be quiet or loud or distant or close. He operates through us. And when we know his voice, suddenly we get comfortable. And I think sometimes we get uncomfortable because we don't recognize his voice. We say to ourselves, well, I don't know if I know God. Can I just suggest that the voice of God is most likely your voice, but it's probably just things that you wouldn't normally every day say because it's maybe not your ideas, it's his ideas. But I don't think that God's going to come with a big booming voice like maybe we think of a movie. I think it's going to be very close to our voice. It's going to be a voice that we recognize. It's going to be a head voice. It's going to be a heart voice. Might even be our voice itself physically speaking it out. We go, wow, that doesn't even sound like me, but I know it is me. I think I could be God. We go on this journey of learning his voice. But here's what Paul said. And he demonstrates his companionship with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And now compelled by the Spirit. There's just this connection, this fellowship. It's like, you know, when you're with a friend and you go and do something and you're like, well, what do you want to get for dinner? And they're like, no, we have to try it this new place. You're like, okay, you feel compelled to do it. Or they say, if you've seen this new shop, you got to go there. And you feel compelled to go because you're in a close relationship and it's very natural that someone can take over at certain points because there's an urgency or they really believe this is a good path or we should do this, we should do that. Whether it turns out that way, well, you find out by the end. But Paul said that he was compelled by the Spirit. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me, but I'm compelled by the Spirit. There's a closeness here. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me and that prison and hardship are facing me. Here's Paul. He's converted by Christ on the road to Damascus. He's just had this incredible life-changing encounter through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's led him to Christ. He has come to know Christ, and now the Holy Spirit's leading him every single day. Began in Damascus, and now he's on the way to Jerusalem, and it's the same Spirit that's leading him. You can tell that this is very natural for him because it's not every day that you find yourself walking yourself into prison and hardships right in front of you. Like, that's not what we dream of. We dream a lot of the times in the things of God that we're going to get better and better, we'll get more money, we'll get healthier, we'll find ourselves retired early. We think of a lot like that. Now, that's usually the influence of the world, not what the Word says. But Paul says, I'm compelled with the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, knowing full well that every city the Holy Spirit leads me into, he warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. They had a close relationship here, guys. This was not like a distant, far-off God that you tune in with every now and again. This was not one that you would read about in a page. This is a real-life experience thing going on. It was like as if Jesus was walking with them, and like in the early disciples. We go here, we go there, and Jesus is with us. Wherever you want us to go, Lord, we'll go with you. I mean, this is just the way they lived. And Paul demonstrates this lifestyle with the Holy Spirit that it's just very natural. He's guiding me. He's warding me. Paul knew the Spirit. He trusted him. And his whole relationship was rooted in the Holy Spirit. It's incredible. It's just unbelievable. And this is what we want. I read just recently or heard in the radio just recently about some school kids. They did a survey over in London, and they said, kids, which would you trust more? They said, would you trust what you read on social media, i.e. Facebook? For kids, it was mostly Facebook. They were old enough to be on Facebook. Or I think even some of them weren't even old enough, but they'd heard about Facebook. And they said, hey, would you trust what you read on Facebook more than either published works or even the newspaper? And the kids turned around from, I think it was 8 or 9 year olds right up to 12, 13 year olds. And they all turned around and goes, oh, for sure, we trust Facebook. And they said, you trust Facebook more than those other things? Like, yeah, we never even heard those things. And we know as adults that Absolutely, you should trust published works and even newspapers far above Facebook, because at least stories are verified, or at least you hope so. But this is self-publishing versus, editorial publishing versus published works that are scrutinized and analyzed by hopefully wiser people who wrote them, and they're cross-examined and checked, and they go back and forth before they're published. I mean, these are way more scrutinized. These are way more thoroughly checked. Facebook, I mean, I can write something on right now. Does it mean it's true? Not at all. I mean, you don't really have any clue what's true or false on Facebook. Of course, we know there's some fact checkers out there, but again, we don't know to what values, to what system. It's complicated. And yet for the kids, guess what? The voice that they heard the most of is the voice that they trusted. And my question is this, what's the voice we hear the most of? Sometimes we get scared of the Spirit. Sometimes we get nervous of the Spirit. And my guess is that we don't really know the Spirit, but we've heard about the Spirit, or we've just been filled with other things that are not the Spirit. And so we're more comfortable with the like of the world stuff. We're more comfortable with the secular than we are with this. I had another friend that jumped into a car one time. He was getting a taxi to the airport, and they started talking about the things of faith, as he thought, but from the guy driving the taxi, he was just talking about spiritual things. And he says, I'm very comfortable talking about those things. He goes, I don't really know about your God stuff, but I know about fortune tellers. I know about this, I know about that. And what my friend decided when he jumped out of the taxi was, he goes, wow, we got to be way more careful. The world's way more into the spiritual than we give them credit for. The problem is they've not heard about our spiritual. They've not heard about the true Holy Spirit. They've not truly heard about the things of God. And so we trust what we hear about over and over and over again. It's kind of the way we've been designed to be. It's a beautiful gift from God. The problem is, what happens when you hear about stuff that's not trustworthy, but you hear it over and over and over again? You begin to believe it. It's called propaganda. But whenever you hear the word of God, the beautiful word of God, and you hear from Jesus himself, and he says, it's better that I go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. In fact, it's to your advantage that I go, because if he does not come, the advocate does not come in my place. Church, we can get nervous about the Spirit. You might have heard negative things about the Spirit. I want to suggest this. It was probably people's fault, not his fault. And I want to reopen you to the things of the Spirit. He's far better than you know, and he has changed my life. And all I can give you is the evidence from the Word and the evidence from my life. And I think he's done a pretty good job. And guess what? He's not finished yet. We can trust him. We can trust him. Peter walked with the Spirit as well. Acts chapter 10, verse 19, it says, while Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. Wow. The Holy Spirit is just showing Peter, he's showing Peter what's to come. He's showing Peter the future. He's showing Peter direction. He's leading Peter. He's directing Peter. Again, this is a closeness. Peter's not freaked out. He's not putting on Facebook. I just heard the word of God for the first time ever. He's very comfortable. In fact, it seems like he's very used to the things of the Spirit. It's very normal for him. It seems like he's made a great transition. I used to listen to Jesus, now I listen to the Spirit. It's no big deal. No big deal. It's just something he's got accustomed to. Maybe if you need to get accustomed to the voice of the Spirit, maybe you need to become more aware of the Spirit. Maybe you need to get up every day and recognize the Holy Spirit and go, Holy Spirit, I need you to lead my life. Holy Spirit, I love you. Holy Spirit, reveal more of the Lord to me. Holy Spirit, reveal more of Jesus. I want to look more like Christ. Holy Spirit, help. What a wonderful prayer to pray in the morning. Acts chapter 8, verse 29, it says, the Holy Spirit told Peter, Lord, the Holy Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. It was just so normal, and actually very normal and very consistent all the way through the New Testament. And I want to say to us today, if the voice of the Spirit is not normal to us in the right sense, you know what I mean? The voice of the Spirit will always be supernatural, it'll always be beautiful, it'll always be extra special. But if it's not a normality in your life in the sense of hearing the Spirit, then I want to say to you, let's pursue the Spirit more. Let's be open to the things of the Spirit a whole lot more. He wants to lead us into all truth. He wants to guide us into all truth. He wants to teach us the Word. He wants to reveal things to us. He wants to bring the Father's heart to our heart. He wants us to learn to know Jesus and love Jesus better. He wants us to sing in the Spirit, know in the Spirit, live in the Spirit. It's where we've been called to be. So I want to say to you, let's get more comfortable with the things of the Spirit. He's a fellowship. He's a friend that we want to have. Number two, partnership. Come on, let's have a look at it. Acts chapter 15, verse 28, it says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Just such another natural statement. It was like as if Jesus was there. Hey, guys, can we just fill you in? We're making a decision. We just want to let you know. Me and Jesus have just been chatting about it. It seems good to us. What do you think? It was just a very normal conversational style. It was like it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It's like, what do you think, Lord? I mean, one of the early things I loved so much when I got to know some YWAM guys was that they prayed about everything. They want to know the Spirit on everything. I was like, wow, like it's just going for a bag of chips. It's just going to the shop. It's just that, no, we'll just pray about it. You know, we're just picking a few songs. No, we'll just pray about it. And I love their heart, absolutely love their heart. And I want to say to us guys that we've got to cultivate a culture and a way of going, a lifestyle where we literally are communicating with the Holy Spirit all the time. Paul said it like this: I wish that we were praying the Spirit all the time. I wish that we pray without ceasing. In fact, I pray in the Spirit more than you all. I mean, his encouragement was just this continuous conversation. And we know sometimes conversations, listening, speaking, silence, loud, shouting, dancing, screaming even, shouting, singing, whatever. It's all this continuous communication the Holy Spirit wants to have with us. It's like harmony. It's that beautiful harmony style. It's everybody singing a different part, but on the same note, on the same page, singing the same song. Come on, this is what the Holy Spirit wants with us. He wants a partnership. Maybe you've seen a business partnership. Business partnerships are built for profit. Holy Spirit partnerships are built for the profit of this world and for the people of this world. The Lord loves the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. And then for God so loved the world that he sent his son home and he sent his Holy Spirit to stay. God so loves this world and he wants to see the world transformed. And it's his deep desire, his deep desire, that all would come to know him. See, the partnership that the Lord wants to have is partnerships like fruits of the Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit says in Galatians that he wants to give us the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. And he says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us as we stay close to him, as we're planted in him. The seed begins to grow. The fruit begins to grow. And fruit doesn't grow quickly, so we're to walk with him. We're to talk with him every day, just like Adam did in the garden with the Lord. The Holy Spirit was there back then. The Holy Spirit moved over the earth. What does it say? That the Spirit of God brooded over the earth or moved over the earth, and suddenly there was life. I mean, the Holy Spirit's been there from the very beginning, and we get to partner with him today. What an incredible privilege. What an honor. And he wants to, as we partner with him, produce good fruit in our lives. Number two, as we partner with him, he wants to produce the gifts of the Spirit through our lives. In other words, his precious gifts, so that we grow the church. Come on, there's three lists of the Spirit that you could read about. I'll read them real quick. You can check them out later for yourself. Romans 12 talks about prophesying. Prophesying, speaking the future. Speak in the heart of God in love. What's prophecy all about? Love. God just wants you to know something you didn't know before. It's all about his love. Number two, you'll see in Romans, is servant. God loves us to serve as a gift of the Spirit. Teaching. Some people just have this gift in the Spirit to be able to teach. Some people, it's encouragement. They just have this incredible, encouraging gift. It's just a gift of the Spirit. And we call to all these things, of course, but there's just sometimes there's an extra on it. Spirit gives us giving, leadership, mercy. You know, we're just that mercy with people, kindness with people, grace with people. 1 Corinthians 12, very famous list, of course, words of wisdom. Where the Lord just gives you wisdom about people's lives. He gives you words of knowledge, stuff that no one else would know. The Spirit just speaks into your heart. Faith, healing, miraculous power, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. Wow. And before we forget, the Holy Spirit gives us a heavenly prayer language. I believe it's fundamentally different than the gift of tongues, which is there for the body of Christ for a moment or for a season or to bring a word. And then there's someone rises up with a gift of interpretation to interpret the tongues. We see it in our church regularly, probably not regular enough. We're believing for more. As we begin to get healthier in the things of the Spirit, we begin to see these gifts operate very, very naturally. And you'll notice they'll always operate in order. It'll never be chaos because God always brings things into order. Do you notice that? The world gets unhealthy, and it gets unhealthy when we step away from God's plan. But when we step back into God's plan, things get healthy. Things go back into order. Our world is in chaos because we've lost focus on the family. We've lost focus on the things of God. We've lost focus on loving people through the eyes of Christ. And we focus more on sinful things and living our own ways and the secular lifestyle and going this way and that way. And what's happened? We're just reaping destruction after destruction. Because what you sow, you will reap. And if you reap that stuff, you will reap bad stuff. Bad stuff out, bad stuff back, bad stuff in, bad stuff out. It's just the way it goes. But we as the children of God can redeem it through the Spirit of God. Amen. And so wherever we go, we just begin to redeem and bring heaven on earth, which is the Father's heart. And of course, the Father's prayer that heaven would come to earth. Third list, real quick. 1 Corinthians 12:28, including healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. just spiritual gifts that the Lord has given the church, the body. We are the church to build us up and make us strong. Why? Because the Lord's coming back for a beautiful bride. Why? Because the Lord wants us to add to our number every single day, like we read in Acts chapter 2, 42. That's what his heart is. And to do that, we want to be spiritually active. To do that, we want to be strong in the spirit. We want to be alive in the things of God. And sometimes when we're going about our day and it just becomes day to day to day, and we're praying and we're reading and we're worshiping, there can come a dryness. And the Spirit just brings that wellness of life. The Spirit just comes and he brings us that softness and that gentleness and that life flow that we sometimes lack with other things. We want to be rooted and established in the Spirit. Come on, this is who we are, rooted and established in his love. And so God's building his church, and many are looking for a life partner. I know this is a big heart cry for so many people. What about partnership with the Holy Spirit? I tell you what, he'll give you everything you need and more. And then before you know it, if it's God's plan, you'll get the partner. But I would go after life in the Spirit. I would go after as a partner, making the Holy Spirit your number one partner, and watch how everything else begins to flow. And then lastly, we're going to talk about intimacy, which I love so much. So I'm going to try and hold back on not talking too much. But James 4:5 says this, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. Somebody said it like this one time. He's a jealous lover. And sometimes people can get offended with that. God's our lover. Come on. No, he is just way deeper than you imagine. Sometimes when we think a lover, we go down erotic love. God's an agape love. It's a God love. It's a deeper love. It's not based on feelings or what you get back out or in or out. It's not a brotherly love. It's not a Philadelphia love. It's not any of those things. It's an agape love. It's a God-given love. It's a God love. It's deep and it's intimate. In fact, it's the most powerful thing in the universe. It's changed men and women's lives forever because of his unconditional, perfect love. And he is our lover. He's the one who loves us beyond comprehension. He's the one who loves us no matter what we would do. And his love not only transforms us, but it swamps us and consumes us. And then out of his love, we grow and we transform and we become more like him. But the Spirit who dwells, the Holy Spirit who lives in us, abides in us, makes his home in us, welcome him into your life. He yearns jealously for you. He don't want anybody else. And if anybody else comes for you, like the enemy or one of his minions or anybody else, the Holy Spirit just begins to reject all of that. And I tell you what, the more you spend time with him, the more you'll find your tastes change, your wants change, your desires change. I remember very clearly years ago, loving all types of music. I mean, can you believe this? I used to love R&B. Usher, I loved Usher. I loved all of those guys. I loved all that R&B music. I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't. But to be honest, I didn't realize just how maybe dark and twisted some of that music was. Is it really wrong? I don't know. It's probably okay. But what the Holy Spirit spoke to me was, not even as much that it's wrong, I just don't even want it anymore. I don't want that feeding my soul. And I began to just fully submerge myself into worship. And I started to realize it was changing my mind. It was changing my mood. It was changing my walk with God. It was changing everything about me. It's the same with everyone else. I just refrain from certain things. Am I perfect? No. But I want to stay away from certain things. I don't watch certain things. I don't go to certain environments. Again, I'm not trying to be a holy Joe or whatever someone would label. I've just found a better lover. I've just found the Holy Spirit. I find the dove, and I don't want to risk him going away. And I know he won't, but you know what I'm saying? I find the one who loves my soul better than anybody else. I find a gentleman who takes care of me. I find the Holy Spirit who will whisper to me, and he will love me, and he will encourage me. And I've not found anybody else to compare. And so I don't really want anybody else. And day by day by day, I'm trying to discover more about him, and I'm trying to almost forget about anything else because I don't need anybody else. I just need him. And then what he prompts me to do is to look back out with love and with grace and mercy and say, how can I help? How can I serve? How can I be like Christ? How can I help? How can I minister? And he gives me supernatural energy when I wouldn't have it otherwise. He refreshes me in times when I should be drained. He gives me grace for people when sometimes they really drive me mad. Come on, I'm being real. And I get frustrated. But the Holy Spirit just, he graces me. He anoints me. He anoints my head with oil. It's just incredible. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. He makes an incredible difference. Your heart, as you spend time with him, you'll begin to yearn for more of Jesus. I tell you what, I just feel more in love with Jesus than ever before. Again, have I accomplished everything in my life? Am I the best person to everyone in my life? I think not. I think sometimes the people you're closest to are the people you end up being the meanest to. You don't mean to, but you are. Come on, let's be real. And I do that. But I know one thing for sure. My eyes are becoming more set on him, and I'm becoming more determined to become like him. And I know that his grace is working through me, and it's because of the work of the Spirit in me. And the closer I am to the Spirit and the more I know his voice, the more he's going to draw me to Jesus, the more. You see, I'm wondering why, if you're ever wondering why you're not hungry, it's you just need time with Jesus, and then you'll discover that you get a hunger like never before. And if you need a hunger for Jesus, you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads you in all truth. See, this is not a salvation thing. Jesus had done the work on the cross. It was not about salvation. This is about a more thing. This is about a relationship. This is about an active relationship, just like what the disciples had with Jesus, that we would have that with the Spirit every single day. And so I want to whet your appetite today. I want to draw you into something deeper. I want to say to you that there's more for you than just going to church and just trying to be a good Christian. There's more for you than just trying to read and pray every day and trying to stay close to God. There's this real active, deep relationship, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that you can have. And it can be intimate, so intimate that he would know the inner workings of your heart. And he would be so careful and so gracious with you. And he would transform you to become more like Jesus every single day. The Holy Spirit is moving. I want to challenge us with one last thing. The three people closest to us, I want to suggest this. Have a think about the three people that is closest to you. I'd love that the Holy Spirit would be one soon, if not already. But think about the three people that are closest to you. Think about this. Those three people will do two really important things on your life. They will influence you the most. And number two, you will be becoming like them. Think about that. If it's not the Holy Spirit, then it's somebody else. And I don't even mean that it has to be the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come on, that's not what I'm getting at. I'm just picking three people because I know there's probably three people in your life right now, whether it be your mom and dad and your girlfriend or your mom and dad and your wife or, you know, your wife and your two friends or your three friends or, you know, you make it up, your boss and your friends, whatever. But there will be three people in your life. And I want to suggest and I want to tell you this. There will be no other three people that influence your life more than them. And there will be no other people in your life that you will become more like than them. And so here's the question. If it's not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's not part of that trio, and the Holy Spirit's not part of your closest relationships, then we are in danger of becoming like someone and influenced by someone that does not know us and does not have our best interests at heart and does not really fully understand who we are to become. But the Holy Spirit was there in the womb with us. The Holy Spirit was there in the innermost parts of the world, earth, when the Lord made us, when he talks about in Psalm 139 that he knew us before the foundations of the earth. The Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit was there at creation. The Holy Spirit was there at our beginning. The Holy Spirit was there who drew us to Christ. The Holy Spirit was there to transform us into Christ, into the fullness of Christ, or into Christ. Oh, I'm losing my thought, but you becoming a Christian, the Holy Spirit was there to transform us, to take away our sins so that we become co-heirs with Christ, that we would live in Christ, that we'd be hidden in Christ. That's better theology. But the Holy Spirit was there in all of those things. The Holy Spirit was there this morning. The Holy Spirit will be there tonight with us. It will be the Holy Spirit that will go with us to the grave. It will be the Holy Spirit that will lead us all the way to the bosom of Christ himself, wherever that is in heaven, in the new heaven and new earth, wherever that is. It would be the Holy Spirit that will lead every part of our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us our being every day. It's the Holy Spirit that orders our steps. It's the Holy Spirit that ignites us. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us a breath. It's the Holy Spirit that causes us to feel the presence of God at any which time that we do. It's the Holy Spirit that's working in our lives. And we either are aware of him or we're oblivious to him. And I say this, become aware of him and he will become the biggest influence in your life and you will become like the one he has designed you to become, which is Jesus. And that is our deep desire. And so if anybody wants to change, you need the Holy Spirit. If anybody wants more in their walk with God, you need the Holy Spirit. If anybody wants to get closer to Jesus today, then you need the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray the prayer that they've prayed for generations, thousands of years. Come, Holy Spirit. And I want to invite you to pray it with me today. I say this. You can be fearful. I get it. I used to be as well. You can be nervous. I get it. You can be uncertain. I get it. You might have heard a whole bunch of bad stuff about the Holy Spirit, and I purposely didn't go to any of that stuff today because I didn't even want to get there because I think it spoils so much. I want to tell you this. Trust the Lord. And if you trust the Lord, then you should trust the Holy Spirit because he is the Lord. If he was faithful to convert you, he is faithful to fill you. The word says over and over and over again, we should be baptized and filled in the Spirit because there's more. We need to be overwhelmed by the Spirit and filled by the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, and then led by the Spirit in every which way. And all I'm saying is this, if there is more, why wouldn't you say, Lord, give me that more? That's what we're going to do. Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are more. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are part of the Godhead. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are Lord. And I pray right now that you, Holy Spirit, would descend like that dove, like you did in Acts chapter 2, and that you would touch our heads, you would touch our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch my hands, touch my heart, touch my head. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to each one of us. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Come on, we love you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that if we don't know you, then right now, Holy Spirit, you would convict us of our sins and we would say yes to Jesus. And right now, we become new disciples. We become new creations in Christ, in Jesus' name. But Lord, I pray that if we know you, Holy Spirit, that we would invite you. If for the first time, then Holy Spirit, come and overflow every part of my life. Holy Spirit, come and invade every corner of my life, every sinful area, every hidden area, every unknown area. Holy Spirit, come and flood every part of me. Flood me out. Submerge me in your power and presence, Holy Spirit. And if we know you, Holy Spirit, and we've known you, but it's been a long time since we've been filled, then Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. And then, of course, lastly, Holy Spirit, maybe we've got a real active relationship with you. Holy Spirit, take us deeper. Holy Spirit, take us deeper. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We say, come, Holy Spirit. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for your work in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do. And thank you for precious moments with you. In Jesus' name, amen.